because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsin Eye's look at this week in the Capitol and elsewhere. J.R., it's so dramatic. Now, you and I, based in Madison, we don't have a lot of new information, but this is intriguing. This investigation of Lincoln Hill School for Boys. School opened in 1970. You and I are reading the same news stories from the State Journal and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They're investigating sexual assault, attacks, misconduct. Have you picked up anything other than what you and I have been reading?
The FBI is involved. There's a John Doe investigation going on, and the Secretary of the Department issued a memo to staffers the same day that a couple of guys were fired, saying that this is kind of limited to a few problematic employees, essentially. That's not necessarily looking like the case right now.
Right.
There's some widespread problems.
It? Yeah.
And now there's a political angle to it, because lawmakers had gotten some tips about this or had heard some concerns, and it's so early in this story to know where it's going to go or what the fallout might be, but if you do have a case where legislators knew about this and were fully briefed and didn't do anything, that could be a problem. Now, there's no signs of that yet, you know, so early, but what might come out? That's the question. What might the fallout be going forward?
Well, you and I saw the press release yesterday from the Senate Democratic Campaign Committee, basically said, what did Republican Senator Tom Tiffany know and when did he know it? He's on the hit list, obviously, of Senate Democrats. Do you think it could be a potential problem for Tom?
Depends. Again, what do they know? What smoking gun, if there is one, do they have? That would be the issue. If there's not one, then it kind of blows over because, hey, we heard concerns. We passed them on the department. The department told us everything was fine. We're looking into it. And we followed up, and they said, yeah, nothing to see here. So,
and the Lincoln County judge opened a John Doe. He approved that on October 22nd. But and I don't know the answer, and you probably don't either. I don't know who was running the institution, whether the juvenile males were beating up on others and guards, or whether guards were breaking arms of inmates.
It looks like there was a lot of stuff going on back and forth. And you have, and what's also playing out politically a little bit is it feeds into this complaint from AFSCME that under the Walker administration, they've had cutbacks in prisons, they've had forced overtime, all these new policies that have created, in their words, a dangerous situation for guards across the state, not just in this facility. So it kind of fuels that fire, if you will, that they've been trying to raise about what's going on in corrections.
But we're clearly talking about criminal investigations. You got the FBI in there, DOJ.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, new topic. I was intrigued the way Deb Jordahl and R.J. Johnson opened the week by asking Attorney General Brad Schimel, take direct control and stop the appeal of the John Doe. Now, this is in your sweet spot, so fill us in.
Well, essentially, they wrote a letter on Monday saying that they're arguing under state law that Schimel's responsibility, his agency has responsibility for overseeing any kind of appeal. Therefore, he should step in and take over. It's his decision and his alone. And oh, by the way, you shouldn't appeal. There's no basis for one. Now, the context of this is the state Supreme Court earlier refused to reconsider its decision in John Doe 2.
Yep.
That's the investigation coordination between Governor Walker's
tossing campaign. John Doe 2, Governor terminating Walker's, the appointment of Special Prosecutor Frances Smith.
So it's all about Governor Walker's campaign and coordination with conservative groups and the recalls. They said, we're not going to revisit that decision, which way shut down the probe. They came back and invalidated the appointment of Special Prosecutor Frances Schmitz. Now, Schmitz has been saying, I still want to appeal if I had the resources. The Supreme Court has also stepped in and issued a decision or order late Friday of last week saying, you five DAs were originally involved in this, including John Chisholm from Milwaukee and Ishmael Ozan from Dane County.
Dane.
You have until December 18th to file a motion to intervene and take up this case. If you want to intervene, we'll rule quickly, and if it's granted, you could basically be the ones who appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court
right.
on these various issues. But what Deb and RJ are arguing is like, look, Brad Schimel, this is your case. You should take it over. It's your authority.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Frances Schmitz, we think some things he said have been a little bit out of bounds. Why don't you investigate him? And oh, by the way, if he does try to appeal this case, considering the Supreme Court's argument or decision saying that you have limited authority left,
right.
That'd be contempt of court. You should jump on the bandwagon trying to prosecute or impose penalties for that if that happens.
Okay, but let's look. I was intrigued by how Schimel's responded. His official statement, it's kind of a slit the baby Solomon type thing. So let's look at four sentences excerpt. The special prosecutor has indicated that he intends to appeal, but it is very unlikely the Supreme Court of the United States would take the case. In the unlikely scenario that SCOTUS were to accept the case, it would be more than it would more than likely uphold the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then two more sentences. This has been a long, unfortunate chapter in Wisconsin's history. The courts have unequivocally rejected the John Doe investigation. For everyone involved, the special prosecutor should end the case, and the property seized from the individuals in this case should be returned immediately. So, number one, he didn't immediately take the jurisdiction that RJ and that Jordahl wanted.
He also said that, by the way, we represented a Judge Peterson, who was the second judge in John Doe, who oversaw parts of it, also quashed subpoenas that were yes. issued as part of John Doe, too. We represented Judge Peterson. If there were an appeal, we represented him. Basically, kind of like, he didn't directly say, no, I'm not taking over the case, but he's saying, well, we've already got a client, if you will, if there is an appeal. So he kind of, without saying no, said no, if you will.
But he also, now you and I are not lawyers, but I'm struck by, he also, it appears to me, tells the U.S. Supreme Court, here's what you should do with this case. If an appeal is filed, slam dunk it. Don't consider it. And if you do consider it, agree with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I mean, that's my ruling.
Well, there's also this case of, okay, so if Schmitz is not allowed to appeal, I mean, there's that whole issue there of like, I'm not a lawyer. I can't say what the Supreme Court can and can't do in terms of having a foundation to file an appeal. But if he can't, the five DAs now, let's be honest, they have their counties to oversee. Their investigations of, you know, violent crime, other issues that they have in their normal day jobs. Now they're being asked to expend resources and time to take up an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, or possibly take up an appeal to the Supreme Court, which even if they're successful, the rules have all changed as John Doe 2 began, which is the GAB will be no more after Governor Walker signs a bill next week.
Yep.
June 30th, it goes away. The John Doe law has been
narrowed.
So no more campaign finance violations can be investigated. So all the rule, oh, the campaign finance law will be, as of next week as well, completely overhauled. Where's your end game, if
Where's
you
your
will?
Benchmark? Yeah.
So it looks like a very difficult case, even if they were to take it on. A difficult case to go back and prosecute this again, I'm not sure that it would be a win-win for them.
You were not surprised in at Schimmel's response?
No, I don't think he wants anything to do with this. I think he wants to go away. I mean, I think that's
should end.
Yes. And now for the people who are really incensed by this, these are the targets, the people who were the Eric O'Keefe's of the world, if you will,
yeah.
They're also like going, hey, we want our pound of flesh because we feel like we were wronged. The law enforcement community has failed us. And so you see Eric O'Keefe has got this lawsuit so pending in Waukesha County Court against the GAB. There may be other lawsuits filed. I get the impression from some that these folks will look for a way to do it to John Chisholm what they feel like he did to them.
Yeah, I understand. Now, good analysis. Okay, new subject. I'm so intrigued by Waukesha wanting to slip a straw into Lake Michigan. Now, I was also surprised the Wisconsin DNR said, we think we should move this forward to the purview of seven other governors, two Canadian premiers, whose land abuts Lake Michigan. But are you one of these that believes that one of the major environmental issues in the future is water?
Oh, absolutely. And go back, the Great Lakes Stakes, they signed this compact when Jim Doyle was still governor,
yes.
If I remember right?
Yes.
Sled out that you could have access to water, but you have to get agreement from everybody,
yep.
Which makes it a very difficult
Unanimous.
Process.
Unanimous. Eight governors plus two Canadian premiers. I'm sorry.
And the issue becomes, how many straws do you allow in? Now, Waukesha County, or Waukesha, is making a very case that, look, we would return all the water we take, essentially. We would treat mm-hmm. it, send it right back, but it'd be no harm, no foul, if you will. But if you look at that basin line, who else gets in? Who else gets a straw, if you will? You're going to set a precedent with this decision. And that can be interesting to watch and see what happens. The environmental groups are going to cry foul and say this is not good.
Right.
Because, again, how far away do you go that you can truck water in? Now, Waukesha sits right on the line of the basin. Basically, you have this kind of topographical, if I understand it, I'm not a
geologist,
but you
hydrologist.
Have this divide, if you will, that the water over here flows Lake Michigan. The water here flows to the Mississippi River eventually.
You are a scientist. Nice job. Go ahead.
I try my best. But that they sit right on that line. Well, what happens if you sit just outside that line?
Yeah.
Those are the things that, you know, I'm not quite sure.
Right.
Where do you draw the line? That might be an issue they have to kind of grapple with in this case.
And the environmentalists who oppose this diversion say Waukesha could implement water conservation, could do some technical improvements to its seven wells. They don't have to slip a straw into Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And now you're beginning a 45-day comment period with a public hearing. But the bar is set so high, eight governors, two Canadian premiers, any one of which could reject it, right?
And environmental groups have said you should look at conservation instead and other ways to do this. And Waukesha said, we've looked at that. It's not feasible. We have to. This is our only option, basically.
Meanwhile, you have cities like Cleveland looking very closely at this major precedent. So I think it's a big deal. Okay, new topic. We had a chance to interview Reed Ribble. He was on the conference committee that delivered this transportation package. The good news is five-year funding, $322 billion over 5 years. So you have the certainty of funding. Mm-hmm. But then he says it's funded in phony ways.
Yes.
You're going to raid the Federal Reserve. You're going to assume you can sell some of our oil reserves at $90 a barrel. And I looked it up. Oil's trading now at $38 today.
Yes.
And you're going to have new fees on airlines and cruises. So he says, I asked him, how many votes would a straight-up vote to raise the federal gas tax 18.4 cents since President Clinton, 1993, said only 100 to 200. It was a non-starter. It's really intriguing. Why is Reed Ribble inserting himself into such very important debates, JR?
Well, he's got an interest in it, and if it's interesting what you're saying is it illustrates that we're not the only ones who got a screwed-up transportation funding system right now.
Yes.
we don't have the answer, and they don't either. But he's getting at an issue that there is not a long-term solution because you have an anti-tax raising crowd, Governor Walker here, the Freedom Caucus and others, you know, at the congressional level. That's not going anywhere. Fees are an issue. Borrowing is an issue. This is at a five-year package. There's going to be a problem every time to renew this thing.
Right.
And they have not figured it out. And that's the bottom line. We have not figured our transportation and what we're going to do with it.
There's some good news in the package, though. The governor, as you know, recommended borrowing $1.3 billion over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. This bill will give us an additional about $71 million more a year. $71 million times 2 years is $140 million upper. The governor saw a shortfall of $1.3 billion. So it doesn't go very far to solving our funding problem, does it?
No, and then you have some ideas working in the legislature on the local level. A couple of Republicans have put forward a bill that would allow locals to impose a half-cent sales tax. So there'd be a countywide referendum.
Right.
If approved, it lasts for 4 years. You got the sunsets for 4 years unless you have another referendum to approve it again. But you take the formula, the money from this tax,
yep,
divvy it up, county and locals, according to a formula based on the roads, that miles of roads they have. Now, you couldn't supplant current spending with it. It means it'd be all money for new projects. You couldn't just say, okay, I spend $500,000 a year on roads, I'm going to cut that in half and use this tax money. No, you've got to spend more money on roads because of it. But there's an issue because the governor's saying, I don't like a piecemeal approach to transportation funding. We need a statewide solution. People local are saying, governor, we want a statewide solution. Give us one. You know, and that's kind of it's an indication of they're seeing a problem. They want to find solutions to it, but what is it going to be?
This bill that you just mentioned, I wanted to come to later in the show, but let's talk about it now. A half-cent sales tax for highways and transportation projects could be, mm-hmm, implemented by counties, mm-hmm, only after a referendum. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you this. Do you see this as getting through the legislature?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this just we've just begun the debate on this issue?
We've
kind of
dropped
the flag.
The committee unanimously, and we're talking Republicans who are not from what I would call liberal areas of the state either. They were, you know, okay with it. And they're thinking, you know, I've talked to backers about this, is that because it would be locals approving, it'd be a referendum approving the tax, it's not really to them the same as the state raising the gas tax, because this is local people saying, we want to spend more, invest more in our roads. To them, there's a big difference between that, between the state saying, I'm going to grab more in your pocket versus you saying, okay, I want to give you more. So that's one thing. The governor, though, I don't know if he's going to be open to this idea because it could be a tax hike, seen as a tax hike. You've got the Senate to deal with, the full assembly to deal with, so there's still a lot of hurdles to overcome.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where it's going to go yet at this point.
Well, let's circle back to what Ribble said. He said, I have found, to my surprise, he would like to raise the federal gas tax. That's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. I asked him about tolling, which is a big priority with Speaker Voss. There's no permission for Wisconsin to begin tolling on, mm-hmm, our four lanes and interstates in this thing. But so then I said, okay, you can't raise a federal gas tax, and we can't toll. What's his advice to Republican leaders in the Capitol on how to pay for the state's transportation future? Let's listen to what he said.
It has to start with the ideology that I articulated a bit earlier. If something's worth buying, it's worth paying for, and that they should take a look at every single user in the system. That would include those on transit and those riding buses. We don't really have rail in Wisconsin. Transit users, cars and light-duty trucks and heavy trucks, and then also electric and hybrids, and begin to figure out ways that they can pull all those users in, so any increase to raise that $800 million would be spread across every single user of the system rather than just key users of the system.
JR, here Ribble is saying, okay, consider users of mass transit, mm-hmm. buyers and operators of cars, trucks, electric and hybrid vehicles, pull all these users in. Excuse me, isn't this exactly what Transportation Secretary Gottlieb recommended last fall?
I think he left off.
He put this
big
buffet in front of the governor saying, pick one, and WSDOT will back you, honorable governor, and what happened?
I think Reid Ribble left off things like the new sales tax on cars and everything else that went nowhere.
And the vehicles miles traveled.
There are all these ideas out there about raising. But yeah, Governor Walker, anytime it's come up, has said, I'm not interested in raising fees or taxes. End of story. So you talk to our lawmakers, they're going, we're going to be the same spot in 2 years we are right now because the gas tax is not going to go up in terms of, you're not going to see cars getting less efficient and using more gas. They're getting more efficient. So. Yeah. What's going to happen?
And we borrow $850 million mm-hmm. to pay for set of major project delays.
20 plus cents every dollar going to bonding?
So I asked Ribble, I said, do you like tolling? He said, no. I said, why? He said, trucking companies hate. And Schneider Transport is headquartered where?
Green Bay.
Okay.
Tolling is not a short-term, I mean, it's not a near-term solution. It is going to take a while to build those toll booths and get those. So it's not like even if they approve it tomorrow, doesn't fix the budget.
But this is a 5-year federal transportation funding mm-hmm. package. It provides certainty in terms of states can now go forward. But what it doesn't do is give Wisconsin the ability to toll within the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. So look at all these other things, which how many times have we come? Okay. JR, I wasn't going to include this. But when the governor says, quote, we're committed not just over the next couple of years, but the next 3 years as I'm governor, and God willing, if in the future voters ask me to continue to stay on for 4 more years after that. Okay, the context. This is the first time the governor has talked about the potential that he might seek a third term since the Marquette poll put his popularity at 38%. Mm-hmm. Trial balloon in front of a hometown crowd.
Oh, he's been opening the door ever so slightly to this idea. I remember he first dropped out of the president race, said, totally talk about it. Went on Charlie Sykes' show, TMJ, in October, and basically said, if he ran for president again, he wouldn't run for president while sitting as governor. That it's just too difficult. It's too hard to run your state and run at the same time. If he ran again, he'd make a commitment to fill out that term. And people kind of went, well, we've heard this before, governor, about filling out your term as county executive. And so if that was worth, that was that. Now we have the further opening the door, if you will, about, well, so maybe he runs in 2018. He's kind of keeping himself. Now there's two things. One, maybe he's serious. Maybe he really wants to run. He does like the job. I mean, the guy's enjoyed being governor. Maybe he's also trying to stay relevant. Because remember, he's got 3 years left on his term. If he says right now, I'm done. I'm walking away in 2018. The primary begins already for that spot.
Sure.
Rebecca Clayfish would obviously be in and others. And two, lawmakers go, well, he's gone in 3 years, so what's he matter right now? We got to worry about this, this, and this. It weakens his hand if he's a lame duck. So there could be a little bit of, hey, don't forget about me. I'm still relevant kind of thing going on too.
Okay, but I'm not going to include his future comments about a third term on future rewinds unless he definitely says he's going to run, because we could have this every week. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to look at the venue in which he said this. The summit of WMC. WMC is one of his biggest backers. Seems to me that the governor was saying, WMC, leave the light on for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fair read?
Sure. I mean, I get the impression he really could run. There are ways for Governor Walker to rehabilitate his image and get back in a spot where he'd be strong to run. And oh, by the way, Democrats don't have a strong candidate in waiting to take him on. So there are some things that could be advantages for him in 2018 that he could win again.
Okay. You can see him then coming back from the 38% popularity because mm-hmm. he's got 3 years to do so.
Absolutely.
And he said, I'm going to have an upbeat going forward state of the state next month.
Yep. I'm going to go out and listen. That's one of the things you say.
Going to go out and listen. Okay. Your stock report, please.
Rising. So nuclear energy. So
yeah. 13-0.
Now remember, we talked about a moratorium for years in Wisconsin. There isn't an actual, it doesn't actually say in state law, you can't build one. It says you have to meet these standards to build one that are easing those standards to make it easier to build one. Now, the question is still going to be things like cost. do people want in their backyard? I guarantee you, if they go to build a nuclear power plant in anywhere in Wisconsin, somebody will sue saying, I don't want that
right.
behind my school, behind my town, whatever. But it is a sign that they're opening the door, they're more open to the idea of this is a way to produce energy without a carbon footprint, if you will. Now, there's a lot of nasty stuff left over from the process. You have to figure out what you do with that. But it's a definite change from 1983, I think it was.
It was.
Passed the restrictions that basically created the moratorium in effect.
Okay. 13-0, it came out of committee.
Mm-hmm.
The speaker's spokesperson, Kit Beyer, says it's going to be debated
mm-hmm.
next session.
But PSC Chair Mike Hipsch testified in favor of it, so let's go. So the governor must be on board if he's got his PSC chair out there talking about it. So,
but we are so far away from this approval.
Mm-hmm.
So PSC, then lawsuits, then one of the...
Years.
Many years.
Mm-hmm.
One of the restrictions imposed in 1983 is there has to be a safe place to store nuclear waste generated by any new Wisconsin nuke power plant. And there's Congress still hasn't been able to
no.
do that.
Yucca Mountain has been talked about for years and years and years. It isn't going to happen anytime soon.
Okay, Rising. So that was Rising Mixed.
So Scott Walker, so let's build about what we were just talking about. So if you're Scott Walker and you want to run for election 20, what do you have to do? You have to have a vision. You have to have an agenda. And how do you accomplish that? Well, you've got a budget in 2017 that you can do some stuff. You can have a State of the State address that lays out some kind of agenda, if you will. It says, I'm going to do this, this, and this. What is he going to tackle? What will his priorities be? Obviously, he's talked a lot about the job gap between the jobs available in Wisconsin and the skills that we have. Maybe that's his next priority. So there are opportunities for him, if you will, to lay out an agenda and get back on track. He's been traveling a lot more than he was before. I think he's in both Madison and
you said Green Bay
today.
No, go ahead.
Today, I think he was. So
all right.
He's doing stuff. The issue is his numbers are not very good. He is still kind of trying to find his way, if you will. Now, it's only been 2 months since he dropped out. But have we heard an agenda from Scott Walker since he left the presidential race or a bold vision of what I want to do next? No.
No, which is why he's out there listening, correct?
So he's listening. But is that the Scott Walker we know?
No.
Scott Walker isn't somebody who goes out and takes directions from people. He has an agenda and is aggressive and moves on it.
Here's my Act 10 bill. Pass it.
Boom. You know, all those kinds of things. So it's going to be interesting to watch. Now, people are skeptical about the talk of 2018. I get the impression that until Walker really fires up the election machine, like gets his campaign going, is raising money actively, and you see signs that he's really, truly engaged, that may finally make people go, okay, I believe this. But there's still going to be skeptics saying he just wants to be relevant, if you will, and that's why he's talking about this. Now, the other side is his presidential aspirations. He's still a young man, 46 or 7, 8, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
He has plenty of time to run for president. I don't get the impression, talking to folks, that Scott Walker has lost the bug. Or, will never run for, or never think about running for president again, at least give it a consideration. Look ahead. 2016, if Hillary Clinton wins, and we're assuming she's going to be the nominee because the Sanders thing is kind of fading a little bit. Let's assume she wins the nomination and wins the White House. Well, if you're Walker, won't be relevant until 2019, and then you can start running again in 2020. So there's a different dynamic than if a Republican wins, you have at least 8 years to think about trying to be relevant. How does that play in the decision? Does that make him go, okay, well, Republican wins, I've got to be around somewhere doing something for a while. Being governor is a pretty good place to be. And oh, by the way, Democrats, I'm a great candidate against me right now. I could win.
Okay, but you watch this extremely closely. So here's my question. Where did he land this week? Because I haven't seen it. Where did he land on Mr. Trump's comments?
He made, on Twitter, he was kind of vague about talking about religious freedom and stuff. But in La Crosse, I think it was, he said, again, other Republicans should drop out. And we need to let somebody rise who would be an alternative to Trump that can take him on. Because what Walker's arguing is, with such a wide field, you're splitting the anti-Trump vote or the whatever you want to call it, establishment vote, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
At 35%, Trump could be in a position to keep that. He's got that kind of locked in. He could go all the way to Ohio this summer at 35% and be in a position of the most delegates.
You're now, talking to the national convention.
Yes, I'm not saying he will for sure, but he could. The fewer Republicans you have, the more you have an alternative to Trump, that if it's a one-on-one election, much different case. But 6, 7, 8 candidates, that's a different story.
Okay, and then final, he's keeping his powder dry, sitting on the sidelines, not endorsing mm-hmm. any of the remaining top 4 or 5, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you? Until Wisconsin, at least, why would you? Like, have it matter. If you're going to do it, have it matter. I think he would like others to drop out, to give their alternative, that would be kind of more when you'd see maybe he'd get in.
Okay, thanks. Falling.
Open record. So stop, you've heard this before, but there's been a...
No, I agree with you on this one. Go ahead. It's
there's been a dispute about open records and what the government should turn over and what access we have. So this time it's about transitionary records. I think I'm saying
Transitory records?
Transitory, yes. Text messages, for example.
Yes.
All the stems from State Journal was looking at emails from bad weed clone, mentioned text messages, asked the messages, was told you can't have them. The day before, they're told they can't have them. This obscure board that oversees records and what should be kept says you don't have to keep these anymore. It's a continued back and forth between the media and the government about, well, what can we have? Why aren't you turning this over? Why are you shielding that? And the government, to be honest, they're kind of going, Jesus, these guys are just kind of like, they feel like there's a little bit of a, I don't know how I would say it, kind of a crusade, if you will, from the media about every little thing when it comes to open records. But the media, we're all on heightened alert because what happened in July with the package and joint finance. So it's kind of like this constant headbutting right now.
Which is a very honest process. I mean, it's one way that reporters hold state government accountable is the open records law. Okay, but this, you ever heard of this little board that decided...
Which, by the way, now there are stories that this board may have violated the various
the
requirements because
law.
Of the way it did its meeting without noticing this discussion about open records.
I see.
Okay. Fun times.
What times? Now, for lunch, are you going to have bouillon today?
No.
Because Representative John Mako says that Belgian soup or stew should be the official. Have you ever had bouillon?
No. I've often remarked that I've noticed in my years in the Capitol that if you have the majority and have a bunch of kids write you a letter, you can get almost anything done in this capital. we have a state fruit, a state, what else do we have? We have all kinds of things because...
We have like 19 symbols.
Yes. We also have a state
Flowers,
Danish.
Official count.
Because of Corey Mason being on the Joint Finance Committee.
Yes.
Of Racine. Hey, being from the Racine area, I love O&H. I'm not going to lie about that. Pecan's my favorite. But yes, you can get a lot done in government sometimes.
But the point is, you and I are not going to have booyah, which is not the Marines' war cry for lunch. Okay. Well, all right. Next week, let's pick the top stories of 2015. It'll be a great show.
Yes.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for this week.